Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, I almost guarantee there's something else coming.
You know, hot, we know what we say about hot rumors. Turn them sideways, stick them right up your bum bum.
We made just the one trade today with Danton Heinen for Nick Ritchie.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever takes me, I'm going to go show up.
Joe Burrow's coming back to Ohio.
Joe Burrow.
I saw this.
Tiny little hands.
Rich Keefe.
Oh, boy, Dale. Could it be?
Edmonton acquires Andreas.
Oh, boy.
A fan. Hold on.
Hold on. Come on. We go to
Athanasiou.
Oh, careful. Did you dump that down?
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
I am Andreas and Atsanol. Father to slain child.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Interestingly enough, there was stuff on the show that should have been dumped that wasn't, and we let that go.
We let that fly. It was a busy NHL trade deadline yesterday, sure. Dale.
The busiest in the last 20 years. Most deals, most players involved.
Well, since we've moved to the new studio and we have the trade desk set up, we have been here for an NBA trade deadline. We have been here, I want to say, for an MLB trade deadline and the NFL trade deadline. And yesterday, by far, the busiest day, the
NBA
most active
trade,
that
trade
time
deadline
was,
has become boring.
Dud City. Nothing going on there. A couple of trades like the day before or whatever. But the NHL trade deadline,
say,
rapid fire.
If I ranked them in order of stuff going on in interest, NHL would be one.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball would be two. And then I guess NBA would be three and NFL would be four because they don't trade anybody in
so
the NFL.
So I would put NBA ahead of MLB only because if you're going to go with both what actually happens and the interest in it, because there's always like rumors of the best players being traded, because in the offseason they do. They all jump around the offseason. Trade deadline, not as much. Yeah, football is really nothing. It's just teams don't even really do it.
It doesn't really. I mean,
no.
Belichick makes as many deals
He's
as anybody.
He's the busiest guy, yeah. No, but the NHL trade deadline was good. No stud player necessarily.
No, not
changed
usually.
Teams. A couple of guys, like veteran-type guys moved. Some solid players, no doubt.
I mean, the rumor
crazy.
Was Zach Parise was going to go from Minnesota to the Islanders, and they couldn't get the money to work out, and they ended up not getting it done. They'll revisit that in the offseason.
Yeah, but there was a few guys that, you know, didn't end up getting traded. Like, last year it was Panarin with the Blue Jackets, who everybody thought was going to get traded, and then he ended up staying. And then this year it was Kreider. Everybody thought he was going to get traded, and then he just re-signs. So some of the guys that I think Bruins fans were hoping for didn't get traded. So it's kind of hard to blame Sweeney for that one because they came to an agreement and they signed to this long-term deal that you probably wouldn't have done here. So, you know, overall, what did you end up thinking of it?
Overall, I was pretty pleased. It's funny because nationally, the national hockey media likes the Bruins trade deadline more than folks around here do. I was showing you on The Athletic this morning, one of the national columnists for The Athletic graded everybody's trade deadline days. And there were a few A's in there, but they had the Bruins at an A-.
Wow.
There was another article nationally on The Athletic where they projected what the final standings are going to be in each of the divisions. Mm-hmm. They have the Bruins winning the Atlantic and trending up. And they also loved what Don Sweeney did yesterday. I was talking with a friend of mine from NBC last night who said Don Sweeney's a genius. when you look at you know, getting out from under the David Backus contract the way they did.
Which he signed.
I know, I understand.
He's a genius for getting rid of the worst contract.
But he was smart enough to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know, with what they gained salary cap-wise with the move yesterday, the Heinen for Richie deal.
Right.
That made up what they were going to have to eat on the Backus contract. So, in effect, the Backus contract doesn't cost them a dime now. They are better today than they were 3 days ago.
Right.
They, you know, what they took off the team was Danton Heinen, who was kind of a disappointment for a lot of people anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I don't count Backus because he hadn't been playing in a while. They were paying him to stay at home. They added a skilled player to play on the wing with David Krejci, and they added, in my opinion, much needed size and heft. It was their single biggest deficit last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right.
When, you know, they just, especially when Kevin Miller went down, they didn't have that element. And they added a guy who's 6'2", 230 pounds. And that's what, in effect, what they replaced Heinen with was that size.
Because I think if you look at it in a couple of different ways at the deadline, one would be, you know, what did they do to help this team this year and going after the cup? But also, what did they do?
I haven't even touched the other element. You're right.
So the part of them kind of freeing up cap space is great. But that's also why I think locally there's not a ton of excitement for it, because that doesn't impact the 2020 season at all.
Except I think they did improve.
Yeah, no, so there is that part. There's 100% that part of
They're
it.
They're in first place in the NHL now.
Right.
They improved.
Right.
And they freed up the money to hopefully get a Torrey Krug contract.
And so my question, I guess, would be, how much did you improve? Because, by the way, in order to get some cap relief, you also did throw in a first-round pick.
Yep.
Right? So you tossed away a first-round pick.
That also doesn't faze me as much in terms of only in terms of, when's your first round pick going to, you know, be a viable member of your organization?
I had no problem.
Because it's going to be a low first round
pick. Oh, yeah. And when we talked even last Friday, I had no problem trading a first round pick, but I thought that was going to be for maybe that was in the Kreider deal, or maybe that was in a more surefire top six guy.
The big guns, Kreider, Palmieri, Brandon Saad, none of them went.
Would you say, is Toffoli in that category, or is he a notch below?
No, he's a notch below.
But, I mean, he got dealt, and I mean, he didn't cost a first-round pick, by the way. So I'm just saying, like, if you did, you obviously would have gotten him.
Well, like yesterday, the Tampa Bay Lightning gave up a first-round pick for Barkley Goodrow.
So,
and everybody around the NHL is going, what?
That was like the, was it 2 years ago when the Golden Knights went crazy at the deadline and traded, like, all their first-round picks for guys that were not really supposed to go for first-round picks. But, I don't know, you feel a little desperate. And if you're Tampa Bay, after the disappointment from last year, you're saying, listen, we're not going to have that happen again, so we're going to do whatever we can.
But they have now traded away their first-round picks for 2020, 2021, and 2022.
Yeah, that's
their next three first-round picks they've dealt away.
Yeah, and obviously those would also be really late first-round picks, but, I mean, you got to start to think about the future of your team and everything else. But I guess my question would come back to, I think just about any player you brought in, I would assume, is an upgrade over Backus, who wasn't playing, and Danton Heinen, who I'm with you. I was never a huge fan of him. But what type of improvement are these guys? You know, you talk about Kasha, who is hurt, hasn't played in a couple of weeks, is not going to play tonight, has a history of being injured, and he's very young, but he's got a history of being injured. He's missed a lot of games already in his career. And
by the way, he says he could play tonight. He says, and Don Sweeney said he's been cleared. I think that Bruce Cassidy may elect to give him another day or two of practice. He could play tonight. I think Nick Ritchie's going to play tonight.
Yeah.
Kasha could. I'll give you another thing about Kasha you may not know.
Okay.
This year in the shootout, he's 4-for-5.
I like it.
In his career, he's 7-for-14. He automatically becomes the best shootout guy you've got.
No, I like that. That's an added bonus. And I saw some of the highlights on Twitter going around about, hey, maybe this is why they brought this guy in here. And great, if he can steal you a point, like, I'll absolutely take it.
Now, they haven't had that issue, you know, in November, December. It seemed like they were losing points in the shootout every week.
Right.
And they haven't had that happen in a while because they've just shut it all down.
They're still 0-for-7.
Yeah.
In shootouts.
Yep.
Best team in hockey.
Yes.
It's just one of those weird things. But
here's the thing about the Bruins going forward. And this, I'm not telling you that they're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. I'm not going nuts here.
But they're right there.
They've got the lowest goals against in the NHL. Tuukka Rask is playing his best hockey since the year he won the Vezina. They've got the number 2 power play. They've got the number 3 penalty kill. and they're in first place overall in the NHL. They've gone, you know, they actually have survived this onslaught from the Tampa Bay Lightning and, in fact, added to their lead despite the fact that they lost the game in Vancouver the other night.
And they also have far and away the best home record in hockey, and as it stands right now, they'd have home ice throughout.
Yep.
You know, and I don't,
it's the one thing about winning the President's Trophy that matters. And
right, because there's certainly years for them. Yes. As they know, it's not the most important thing.
Look at Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing, and Bruce Cassidy said this, is the only thing is you know that no matter who you play, you have home ice.
Yeah. No, and that's huge. And also, by the way, even the first round matchup, now I think Bruins versus Toronto, I'm taking the Bruins every single time. It might come down to a game seven. They might even be trailing by 3 goals, but they're going to come back and win every single time. But if you have the difference between playing Toronto in the first round or whoever that second wildcard team, probably out of the Metro, ends up being, that's already a little bit easier of a first round. So that's another kind of added bonus. Not only do you get home ice, but you get the much easier first round opponent, at least in my mind. So I like that part of it. My question would be for the two guys that they acquired, if you start them, you know, Kasha on the second line, Richie on the third line.
That's what they're going to do.
If that's where they start, what are the chances in where they get 19 games left in the regular season?
Yep.
When the playoffs roll around, have they fit in there, and is that what they end up doing?
I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. Yep. Fluto Shinzawa wrote about this earlier today. He said, this is a problem every coach in the NHL would like to have. Bruce Cassidy's biggest problem is trying to figure out his fourth line.
Yeah.
That's his problem right now, is they've been kind of off and on, and, you know, Nordstrom has had good times and not so good times. Corrali the same thing. Wagner the same thing. So his biggest issue is figuring out who's going to be on his fourth line and how are they going to play night in, night out.
But, I mean, I don't think it's a given that the two new guys come in here and just hit the ground running and fit in perfectly where they're slotted in. Now, to be fair, last year, Coyle and Johansson, you thought at the deadline, you're like, yeah, okay. And then
you gave up Ryan Donato.
Right. I was pissed. And then they both ended up being great. And obviously, you decided to re-up Coyle. You let Johansson go, and he made a lot of money. But those guys were both really, really good in the regular season and even more so in the playoffs for you. So maybe that's the same effect with these guys. Because if you just look, you know, obviously coming from the same team, it was not a good Ducks team, but their production has not really been there. And so we'll see. Maybe it's as simple as you play on a really good team with really good line mates all of a sudden, and things will turn around for you.
If the playoffs started today, that stupid phrase that we use sometimes, here's something to be worried about if you're a Bruins fan. If the playoffs started today, your first round matchup would be against the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're 0-2 against them this year. You got shut out 2-0, and you lost a game in overtime 2-1. And by the way, I'm not worried.
I'd still rather play Columbus than Toronto.
That's your first round matchup. Elsewhere in the East, it's Tampa Bay against Toronto. It's Washington against the Islanders. It's Pittsburgh against Philadelphia. If the playoffs started today, those are your four first round matchups.
And unfortunately, even though the Bruins and the Lightning have the two best records in all of hockey,
which means you ain't playing them until the Eastern Conference Final.
No, you'd play them in the second round. You play them in the second round because
you're
assuming
they're gonna. I'm kidding. I was kidding about they're gonna lose to Toronto.
No, I'm saying Boston and Tampa would play in the second round.
Yeah, I know, and I'm saying they're gonna lose to Toronto. It's a joke.
Oh, okay.
They're not gonna lose to Toronto.
Yikes. Rough.
I know.
Rough.
Sorry.
Stuff. Oh,
God. I don't even get the whole thing. And that's fine.
No, but I'm saying we talked about it last year and it ended up not mattering, but you're just like this should be the conference finals, and it won't be because of the way they do business. But I mean, Washington's a legit team too, so like the conference finals will still potentially be good. And there's no way the path is going to open up like it did a year ago, right? I mean,
but
just the chances
not.
Now, even if hypothetically Tampa does lose in the first round, the chances that Washington and Pittsburgh would also lose in the first round again just seems very unlikely.
So that's our very brief discussion about the Bruins at the trade deadline yesterday. We'll get more into it later on if you'd like. If I'm a Celtics fan, should I be a little nervous here?
About Kemba Walker?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
When they told us last week that he had fluid drained and a Synvisc injection, right off the bat, you're going, oh, no. and he's missed a lot of time so far this year. He is, well, I was going to say he's clearly their best player. Some nights he's not, even when he is playing.
I think Tatum is now. Yeah. I think Tatum has really kind of emerged as their best player. And I think it was funny, as soon as he made the All-Star game, or was named to the All-Star game, you thought, well, maybe there's a chance he kind of takes his foot off the gas, right? Like, hey, look at me, I'm an All-Star. He kind of went the other way, and he got even better. Like, he's turned himself into an all-NBA player. And so, yeah, he and Kemba Walker, I mean, I think it could be Tatum, but the thing with Walker is it's just so frustrating because this team, I really think, could win the East if he was healthy. Like, we sort of looked around the landscape of the Eastern Conference. The 76ers can't seem to get out of their own way. Now you throw in the Ben Simmons injury. Toronto is good. They're deep, but they obviously don't have Kawhi Leonard. And so I think they could be had in a series.
You can't justify him playing in the All-Star
game. I hate
game.
That. I hate
you can't justify it.
It's such a Kyrie thing.
And you can go. I got no problems with that.
Go.
Enjoy the weekend. Be a part of the whole thing. How much has he played since then?
That would be 0 minutes. And he played 29-plus in an All-Star game for Team Giannis. It's not like you're representing your country in the Olympics and you're like, well, like he really wants to do it. Nope,
I could buy that.
I could talk myself into that. I know a lot of people wouldn't, but I could talk myself into that. Nope, it's an All-Star game. Team Giannis versus Team LeBron, and you had to get out there in this untimed fourth quarter. You're out there almost the entire time, plays 29 minutes, and now he's like, oh, my knee hurts, and now I'm going to drain it and do all this other stuff to it. You missed the Minnesota game. Fine. They can beat Minnesota without you. You missed the Laker game. You play the Lakers twice. You missed the Laker game coming out of the break. You lose
by a point.
Right. And you were right there in that game. And so this, without Kemba, it's Jason Tatum can still, I think, win you a round or whatever else it is. But you're sort of at that next level. We talked about it yesterday about against a lot of really good teams, certainly in the West, but even in the East, the best player might be on the other team, would likely be on the other team. Maybe the top two, but three and four, that's where the Celtics kind of have that advantage. You know, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward are better than most teams' third and fourth best players. But if Kemba's not playing, now those guys all slide up a little bit. And it also kind of shines a light on Danny Ainge not doing anything at the deadline. And would Isaiah Thomas be a perfect fit on this team? Maybe not. Would Reggie Jackson have been a perfect fit on this team? Well, if Kemba Walker's going to miss games, guess what? Those guys would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Those guys, not only would you be your bench scoring when Kemba comes back, but they could be a bigger part of the game plan while he's out of there. And, oh, by the way, I think the number two seed is going to be pretty important, too. You know, I right now they're the three seed, but depending on how things go, if you're able to jump up there, you get an easier first-round opponent. You get an extra home court. Like, the difference of having to play in Toronto for a Game 7 versus in Boston, that could be the difference in the series.
We like Kemba Walker. He's a likable person. You know, everybody likes him as a person. They like him as a player. If it was Kyrie Irving, we'd be killing him.
Yeah, this is his first misstep. You know, he has said everything right the whole time. Like, the minute they brought him in, from his opening press conference to everything he has said about his teammates, I also don't think it is a coincidence that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are having career years.
Yes.
You know, Kemba Walker is a big part of that. Even guys like Marcus Smart and Daniel Tice are playing really well. It's a extremely likable team. It's the polar opposite from a year ago, and they only swapped out a handful of guys. And Kemba he sort of was the face at the beginning. I think Tatum's already kind of passed him by.
I agree.
But Kemba's still a great, great player. And for him to, hey, if you get hurt playing against the Lakers, you get hurt. What are you going to do? It happens. Guys go down. You know, Gordon Hayward got hurt opening night. Tough luck. What can you do? But when you get hurt in the All-Star game and you're already dealing with something and now it's worse, you gotta tap out of the game. Even if you start to play and you're like, it's the freaking All-Star game. Like, nobody's even going to remember. If I asked the first person that calls them, like, who won the All-Star game, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know, because why would you know or care? And Kemba Walker had to play a half hour in that game?
He can go. Absolutely. You should go. You should be a part of the weekend. No issues with that. Don't play.
And I could even see, if you were on a terrible team, you could talk yourself into, listen, what are we playing? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to give them hell or whatever. Again, this is a team that could go somewhere. And without Kemba Walker, they're not beating Toronto. They're probably, I mean, Miami or Philly might even give, might beat them, you know, without Kemba. With them, I think they could be real dangerous. I think if you're getting this Jason Tatum with some of the good Gordon Hayward that we've seen, the all-around game of Jaylen Brown, with Kemba Walker, which just gives you that other threat in the fourth quarter, because you saw how the Lakers were defending Jason Tatum. It got to a point where they were like, all right, we're going to throw double teams at him all the time. We're going to do all these different gimmick kind of defenses at him. When you have Kemba Walker on the floor, you can't really do that as much, because that's another guy that deserves as much attention. So how his health goes, and doesn't it feel like the last handful of years watching the Celtics, it's been, well, is this guy hurt? Is this guy going to play? Is this guy out? Like, what's the team going to look like once they get to the playoffs? And that's what we're doing once again.
So that'll be a topic we'll talk about today. Tommy Curran is going to join us in studio at noon today, as he does every Tuesday from noon to 1. A lot of stuff to talk about with him. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. We had a feeling stuff would start happening when the football world converged on Indianapolis for the scouting combine, and that's exactly what is going to happen. We have some questions that we've got to ask, and we will. It's Tuesday also, so that means Kiefer Madness is coming up today?
Yes, 1:30. 1:30.
Because, again, if you're keeping up with us,
we had to move it around.
Because Tom comes in from noon to 1 now. And
is Trade Desk Sean going to sing a song? Maybe about the trades? What could it be today? It's Karaoke Tuesday, 1:55.
I have something in the holster.
Better
be prepared.
I don't doubt it, Sean. I really don't. You know what I like about Sean?
We could go all day long without thinking of your holster, to be honest.
Oh, Dale. Oh, speaking of, and I'll tease this for later in the show, went home after all our Joe Burrow talk, went home, measured my hand.
Which part of tease do you not understand,
yeah.
Shime?
Don't worry about it, Shime.
I'm just really excited. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
I measured mine, too.
Let's just say I was surprised.
And so proud.
No, I don't know if I was proud.
I'm teasing.
I was surprised. My wife was impressed. And let's just leave it at that. Actually,
you may have misunderstood what you were supposed to measure.
My hand.
Hand. Was she impressed more with the size of your hand or the fact you could actually measure it?
No, I had her measure it.
Huge.
Because I was like, well, I got to hold the tape measure with one hand and kind of do it with it. No, I didn't have a ruler. I had a tape measure, and it's awkward to take one hand and measure the other hand with a tape measure.
He had a huge package.
Yeah, so I had my wife do it. And reveal the number to me, and I will reveal it coming up later in the program.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. There is a huge development for your New England Patriots, but we have questions about this development. We'll get to those in just a couple of minutes.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
Burrow, now weighed and measured in Indy ahead of Thursday's on-field workout, and his hand size at 9 inches is what's drawing headlines today. And Burrow, yeah, that's basically what he said on Twitter. Saying, oh man, considering retirement after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts.
Patrick Mahomes claims he had a small hand as measured at the combine as well.
Small hands.
Seems to have not affected his career much.
Mahomes has been good. He's been really good. That's a good point. Well, you remember last year, I remember being on the air when Kyler Murray's official height came out. And it was like the
alarm bells going off.
It was like a week's worth of discussion about how tall he was.
Yeah.
Remember? And you're like, okay, that's how tall he is. You kind of knew he was a little guy. And you're like, all right, there you go. So Joe Burrow, that was the headline yesterday, is that he has 9-inch hands.
So now, take your hand, put it out in front of your face, and just
that.
Extend your thumb and your whole all your fingers like you're saying stop.
Like if your hand was like a bat and you just kind of spread it out as far as you can. And
so you
go
measure it from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your little finger.
That's right. Your pinky, some will call it, right? Your pinky. Mm-hmm. And so I went home immediately because, Dale, I'm curious like a cat.
That's why they sometimes
call me Whiskers.
They
and so I said to my wife, I go, hey. Can you do me a favor?
She said, hey, honey, want to measure something on me?
No, I didn't say. I'm not crass.
She said, no.
I'm not crass around her. I'm a gentleman. And I said, get over here right now and measure my hand. And so she did. And Joe Burrow has a 9-inch hand.
That's what they said.
Rich Keefe. Is this just going to keep going?
Yeah, forever.
9.5-inch hand. As
baby!
Someone who has a self-described tiny hand, I would tell people that. I go, I have tiny hands. Bigger than Joe Burrow's. So Joe Burrow's hands are even smaller than I expected or suspected.
I think you've got a shot at an NFL career.
I could probably play. I could probably spin it.
Cincinnati Bengals will draft you.
I would fumble less than Joe Burrow because I got big mitts. Turns out I got big old mitts on me.
I don't think they're that big. They're
big
just
old
big,
mitts.
Bigger than his, but...
Yeah. And then I made a comment when we were getting ready to start our show during the commercial, and Wiggy was saying how he has small hands, and I was saying I have small hands. I'm like, well, I was pleasantly surprised with 9.5-inch hands. I said, but I do have thin fingers. And Danielle scoffed at me and almost threw up a little bit. She's like, you don't want thin fingers. I go, well, what am I going to do?
What are you want fat sausage-like fingers?
Apparently so. I guess you do.
So Pat Mahomes is 9¼ inches.
I got bigger hands than
Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. In your face, Mahomes.
It's not small.
Nope. 9.5, not bad. I feel pretty good about myself. I can hold my head up high today. 9.5, because that is probably, because I probably, like, height and weight, I am probably incredibly average. Like the average American male. Shyam, do me a favor. I hate to put the extra work on you. You do so much. But
it's fine, Glenn.
I deserve that. The average height and weight of a man?
Could you do me a favor, guys, in the other room? Could you look this up?
Do you have the long version of that, John? Because what Glenn asked for that day is so asinine. What I asked for was not that difficult.
Well, it's still asinine, but
I know.
That
I really shouldn't. I put you out too much. I'm thinking height and weight of like a human man.
I got you. So the average man... weighs about 197.9 pounds.
I think that's exactly what my weight is.
And the average height is just over 5'9".
All right, I'm more like 5'11". So I'm a little bit taller, and I probably weigh the exact same. And then my hand, bigger than Joe Burrow's. So I'm doing all right. Let's just say I'm doing pretty well. Dale?
I have no idea, but I assume my hand is smaller than yours.
Oh, yeah. A lot smaller.
Yeah.
I have tiny hands.
Tiny, you got tiny little hands. You, me, Wiggy.
And by the way, we can leave my finger circumference out of the conversation when Danielle's around, if you don't mind.
Thin piano fingers. Yeah. Apparently, Danielle's not interested.
I also have tiny hands.
Did you measure your hands, Sean?
I did.
What do you got? Sean, don't you dare exaggerate or round up. How big are your hands? Be honest.
8.4 inches.
Wait a minute.
Sean, you can go home for the day. You can take a health day. You gotta go. That is bad. Just told the whole city of Boston that you have tiny, tiny hands.
Average hand size is 8.6 inches, so I'm just shy of average. Thank you.
I didn't measure, but mine are probably shorter than Sean's. It's a very easy
average.
Way to check.
We got tiny hand producers. What are we doing on this show? We have the littlest hands. Are yours smaller?
About the same.
Oh, his are slightly bigger.
Tiny. Look at these guys. Tiny hands.
And mine are probably smaller than theirs.
How do you guys even hold on to your phones?
I don't. It's a struggle every day.
Well, I got a Bluetooth.
Especially since I upgraded to a bigger phone, it can be a problem.
That is. How emasculating was it when you got the results? That you saw how small the hands were.
That emasculating.
Did
I'm taller than the average man, so
okay,
that helps, Mike.
There you go. Do you weigh more than the average man?
I do.
Okay.
Much more.
So that's pretty good. You gotta feel good about that. That's a nice thing.
I guess.
No, that's a nice thing, Shime. You gotta go glass half full all the time.
I did not text this, but I wish I had.
Oh, boy.
Somebody wrote, average height is 5'6", not 5'9". That's not true.
5'6", it might be a woman.
I would love that.
If, no, 5'6 is not the average height of a man.
If it was, I could be taller than average. 5'9", I'm not.
No, I think it's, I think, yeah, 5'9", and for a woman, it's probably 5'5".
Yeah, per healthline.com, which is, that's when I Googled
that's
it,
a legit
first
site.
Thing, first thing that came up.
That's one
did
of the
they also mock your hand size?
They did.
No, they, thank God they did not.
What did they say, woman, too?
Let me look.
My guess is like 5'5". And then weight undisclosed.
None of your damn business.
Every single
average height for woman is 5'3.7".
Oh, that's much shorter than I would have guessed. All right. There you go. So 5'3 and 5'9". All right.
My mom, God rest her soul.
Yes.
Was 4'10".
Was she really?
I was doomed.
God bless her. Did not have much of a chance.
I had no chance.
No chance.
She was 4'10" and weighed about 90 pounds. She was a tiny woman.
There was no chance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I may have had some fantasies that I was going to keep growing as a high school kid.
Nope.
There was no way that was happening.
But how big were her hands?
Probably pretty tiny. I never measured my mom's hands.
No.
Neither did she, as far as I know, but...
Probably not, no. So, there you go. But that's what you get out of the combine in the early days, is because it's all measurements the first couple of days.
Because so, Joe Burrow already said, I'm not working out.
I'm not throwing, and why would he?
Not throwing or working
out. Or working out.
He's not doing any of that.
So, interviews and
I'm
measurements.
I'm here so you can measure my hand, mock me, and then I'm out.
They should still run the 40, shouldn't he? Because like
he's not.
I know. But it doesn't matter, really. And maybe that's why he's not doing it. But for a quarterback like Joe Burrow, if he runs a 4.8, a 5 flat, a 4.6, like it really—I mean, well, if he runs a 4.6, you'd be impressed. But like, it doesn't really matter. Some of those other guys, it's a much bigger deal. You're like, oh, what, okay, what?
Well,
do you got?
Look, no matter what he did at this combine, he's still getting drafted first overall by the Cincinnati Bengals.
I believe so.
No matter what he did,
I agree. And the headline that came out too is that he'd say he'd play for anybody, right? Because remember last week there was a little bit of scuttlebutt out there that. Well, he could pull an Eli Manning, which I would not like at all. And I know Cincinnati is not
and
a great place to go.
And he took that off the table today. Good
which
for him.
I was glad to hear that. Like, you got to go there. You don't have to re-sign with them, but that's the team that got, that's how it works. You're not a free agent. You're in the draft. And so he will be the Bengals quarterback next
year. Here's what he said today.
Yeah, I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
Simple
good,
as that.
Good. And hopefully he sticks with that. Hopefully that's not just something he's saying because, you know, draft night rolls around and does he put the Bengals hat on and pout like Eli Manning did with the Chargers hat? You know, if I see that, you're like, oh, God. But hopefully he goes and plays. It's not ideal, but that's sort of the trade-off. If you're the number one pick in the draft, what are the chances you're going to a really good team? They have the number one pick. Right? Like, they were horrible the year before. That's how it works.
So today is the media availabilities.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, every single tight end has been asked. Every single tight end has met with the Patriots.
Good.
Every single one.
They should.
A couple of wide receivers have too, but every tight end. Yeah, yeah, I met with them already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got a chance to catch up with them. That's good.
One tight end, I forget which one he was, said he was a little intimidated by it because that Bill Belichick's a bad man, basically.
I mean, they definitely have a lot of respect for him, that's for sure. I saw Phil Perry tweeted that Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback, he said he had an informal meeting with the Patriots yesterday. Yeah, that'd be a guy who probably is going to go in the first round, and so they would have to their 23rd pick, I bet Love would be there, you know, so that's an interesting one. An informal meeting, whatever the hell that means, but they talked to him.
There's another meeting that matters to us. We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll get to your calls as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. And do us a favor, if you do call in, when we go to you, could you just tell us your hand size?
Yeah, how big are your hands? I want to know if I respect you or not.
Or if we could just immediately not consider whatever opinion you have.
Nines and up. Go ahead and call in. If you're a nine or higher, everybody else, you guys can have...
I don't get to say anything.
Yeah, you guys can all have your Keebler Elf meeting somewhere else, all right?
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
I agree. I said, you know, that's tough. You know, those are big shoes to fill. You know, but for me, you know, I'm a pretty even-keeled guy, and so... you know, I kind of reiterated that. I said, you know, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be prepared as best as I can be. And you know, I've never let any of the outside noise distract me. So I don't think that would be an issue. You know, I'd bring it every day and prove that I'm a leader. And no matter if it's a high or a low, you know, I'm going to keep doing it every day. And however that pans out, you know, I'm not going to be worried about filling anybody's shoes, but just doing the best that I can do.
Is that the next quarterback for the New England Patriots?
I hope not. No offense to him, I just, you know, that's not who I had in mind. That was Oregon State quarterback Jake Luton, who, I mean, I think he could be like a day three pick, again, based off of all the different mock drafts.
But he spent some time with the Patriots.
He did. They're talking to everybody out there, so you never know. It could be him. He had a good answer, though, I guess, you know, it's going to be me.
By the way, just real quickly, because I was looking at this stuff now that you've got me infatuated with it. Yeah. Tom Brady's hand measurement was 9.38 inches.
Okay.
Pretty average for his height.
Yeah, that really is.
And just to put it in perspective, Antonio Brown.
Oh, big hands?
9 inches.
Oh, he's a little hands. Well, no, I would say, yeah.
It's actually big for a guy 5'10".
Yeah, right. I was going to say, because he's not, you know, Joe Burrow's size, so... That's not bad.
So, Rob Gronkowski, by the way, is 10.75.
Yeah, that is a mitt. The guy's got mitts on him.
So, as near as I can tell, the biggest measure... Now, I don't know
how
far
back... Who's got the biggest paws in the league?
I don't know how far back they started measuring this stuff. Okay. And so, as near as I can tell, the biggest hand measurement I can find for a quarterback is Jim Druckenmiller.
First-round pick.
11.25 inches.
So that he was in the 97 draft, so it at least goes back to 97. Yep.
Now, his hand span is 21% wider than the average person, his height. Like, Drew Bledsoe's the same height as Druckenmiller.
Yeah.
But his hand was only 9.5.
Okay. Interesting. So that did not help Druckenmiller's career, the big hands?
Didn't know.
No.
Didn't seem to make a
big difference. So Burrow could be just, Burrow, I think, could be fine. Unless they pull a trick on him and they give him like a much bigger football than normal, I think he's going to be okay.
So the big news so far, in addition to the you know, gigantic hand sizes for people, the other big news is that according to Ian Rappaport, and this shouldn't surprise you, but he did report that the Patriots and Don Yee will get together at the Combine at some point this week. And the very first question that I asked this morning of Rich when we were talking about this is, who suggested this? Because it makes a gigantic difference. If Bill Belichick said, hey, Don, listen, I'd like to get together with you, then all of a sudden that changes things. Because we've been saying all along, right, does Bill Belichick want Tom Brady back?
Right, because if the Patriots started it, that makes you feel a lot better as a Patriots fan that he would be back. Because if Don Yee starts the conversation, isn't that just being a good agent? And he knows in a couple of weeks, not that he hasn't talked to some of the other teams yet, but in a couple of weeks, he legally can talk to other teams. So don't you want to be able to already know what the Patriots might offer?
Yes.
Considering that's the one team that you can actually talk to?
Now,
so that's just a good job by
him. Needless to say, if Don Yee asked, Bill Belichick would say, sure, Don, you know, we're going to be in Indy. We'll get together. Of course he's going to say that.
Yeah.
It would change everything for me if I found out that it was Belichick who said to Don, hey, listen, we're going to be in Indy. You're going to be there. Let's get together.
Yeah, I think that you would feel like you have some sort of idea on Belichick, because all we've done is speculate on that. Robert Kraft has given us some of these TMZ videos where he's like, oh, we plan to bring him back. I hope he comes back or retires. Like, all those kind of little pieces of, you know, those quotes of Kraft. Brady has obviously talked a little bit, you know, throughout the season, but then a little bit postseason. Belichick, we have really no idea, and we just kind of guess. We base it off of the negotiations from a year ago,
right?
You know, what he might think moving forward and all this other stuff. So if he reached out to Don Yee, I'm with you. That is a good sign that they want him back. Although, again, there's a huge difference between wanting a guy back for $15 million for 1 year, like he's Tim Wakefield, or actually as the Athletic article said, like he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you're like, hey, you want to play football again? It's like, no. You can't treat him like that.
So we've already kind of figured out that a New Orleans landing spot for Brady is likely not going to happen because Drew Brees has said
cross it off,
he's coming back, and it was either retire or go back to the Saints. They're going to work that out. So that's gone. Word today is that the Carolina Panthers are apparently moving forward with the operating plan that Cam Newton will continue to be their quarterback.
I wonder if
it was
that
suggested
is
as a
smoke.
Landing spot. I never thought it was that much of a possibility.
For Brady, yeah, I'm with you. I didn't think that one made a whole lot of sense anyway. There's better destinations for him. But is that just something that you say if you're the Panthers too? Like, I don't know if they really mean that.
You know? I don't know.
Because the Drew Brees one, you're like, all right, Drew Brees is their guy. But with Cam Newton, like, I feel like Cam Newton's just cooked. Like, he's had so many hits, and I think he's just done. But maybe they're throwing teams off the scent a little bit, like, you know, because what pick do they have? They have the 7th pick in the draft. So depending on what quarterback's available there, maybe they can, you know, they'll just take a guy or they'll spin a trade or whatever else. So that one could be more just kind of posturing.
So as these things move forward, it made sense to us. We said this a week or so ago that the combine was when things were finally going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the Patriots getting together with Yee, but other teams even passing them in the hallway saying, hey, listen, before you sign, make sure you check in with me. You know, as simple and as innocuous as that, express the interest. Hey, make sure you call me before anything happens. But the fact that Yee and the Patriots are going to meet, and we don't know when. Rappaport didn't have an idea when this was going to happen.
Right.
But this is the next step. Now, Karen Garigian, who is often pretty well attuned to what's going on here, Karen Garigian said that she thought it was possible that this was the first step towards, you know, a serious contract negotiation.
And it could be, but
they haven't reportedly had one.
But there's also a chance that this could, you know, we could all get the info out of this that you don't want. Right, like this, if they sit down, like, can Belichick be talked into multiple years? And if he can't, is the conversation
then it's over?
Is there a chance that it's over?
We think it's over if that's the case.
I mean, I wonder if there's a chance before March if they even know how serious the Patriots are or how realistic it is. If he says, hey, we'll have you back. What'd you make last year? $23 million. We'll give you $24 million for 1 year. That's it. These are the guys we want. We can't make any promises, but these are the guys we're going to go after. You can sort of tell them that. But I wonder, like, is it going to be enough to keep Brady around? Is it going to be enough to, at the very least, as this process plays out, Tom Brady meets with other teams later on and gets really good offers from them? And is their relationship still at the level where he gets, say he gets whatever the final offer is from Tennessee and then says, all right, thank you. Let me just check in with the Patriots first before I sign. Or does this meeting go so poorly that whatever the good offer is from the other team,
over.
He's like, all right, I'll take it. Like, oh, you don't want to go run it back to the Pats? Nope. I already know what the Pats are offering.
Yeah.
I already know what they got. So,
and they're not closing this gap. And
no, right. It could be so far away. So I don't know. And if there's ever been a meeting, and we say this a lot, like at certain, you know, negotiations, if there was ever a meeting I'd want to be in on, it is Bill Belichick talking to, and I don't know if he talks directly to Brady or if it's just a Don Yee or whatever it is, but how fascinating would that be to be able to be behind the scenes and hear what he really thinks about him and what he really would offer him and, you know, what the sticking points are on both sides? Holy smokes.
I mean, everybody around here, at least I've said on a number of occasions, you have as well, this is all, does Belichick want Tom Brady back? It's real easy to say, oh, of course he does. Well, I'm not so sure that's positive.
Yeah, like I think Brady, Kraft, and Belichick each individually want Brady back next season, but it's all a matter of, like, under what circumstances, right? Like, how many years, who's around, what's, you know, what's it going to cost, what's the future look like? There's so many kind of, and they each probably have a different list of, like, what their priority is. They would all like them back, but they may not all overlap.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get the opinion of Tom E. Curran, who will join us just a little over an hour from now. He'll be in from noon to 1. Kiefer Madness is coming up at 1:30, Karaoke Tuesday. I don't know what Chime's going to do, but...
Oh, he's got something in the holster,
he's going to do it. Yeah, something in the...
That's
just
what he said.
He keeps that there, if he wouldn't mind. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.